There is a very nice song which I would like to sing with you. It is Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Moite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Taite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Damodara Dati Vajana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Vrinda Vipti Neshe Namo Dara Dadi Vajana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Vrinda Vipti Neshe De Radhe De De Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite De Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Vrishabhanu Dati Navashashi Leke Lalita Chakki Guna Ramita Vishake Vrishabhanu Dati Navashashi Leke Lalita Shakti Guna Samita Vishake De Radhe De De Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Karunam kurumai nirbaite Tanaka sanatana vanita charite Karunam kurumai karuna bharite Tanaka sanatana vanita charite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Taite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Radhe Radhe Jai Jai Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Vandala Mohite Radhe Jai Jai Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Are Radhe Jai Jai Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Se Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Se Radhe Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hey Bo Hare Rama 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 Hey Bo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This little presentation will be a soul-searching presentation. It is called The Heartbeat of Krishna Consciousness. A healthy heartbeat is the basis of good health. The moment the heart rhythm gets disturbed, the heartbeat is no longer intense. All the organs of the body are not supplied with sufficient energy and consistently, consequently, suffer. This movement or membership in this movement requires from its members to have a healthy heart and a good rhythm, heart rhythm, in order to be successful. The heartbeat of this movement is given in a verse which is quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his ontology or collection of verses called Padyavali. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa, the rasa of bhakti, of Krishna Bhakti, bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi lapyate. Rupa Goswami advises that Krishna consciousness, if it is possible, please purchase. Don't delay. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam. Purchase immediately. Now, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yati Kutopi. Where is it available? It is a very nice thing. Yes, it is available. You can purchase. The movement is going on. Now Prabhupada takes the voice of all of us. And what is the price? Yes, price. It is such a nice thing, you have to pay a price. There is a price. What is that? Listen very carefully. The price to purchase Krishna consciousness is also the heartbeat of those who practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada continues, Tatra lolyam ekalam mulyam. Simply your eagerness. That is the price. This price you have to pay. Then you get Krishna. Immediately. You might remember Prabhupada was asked it several times, how long does it take to become Krishna consciousness? And he says, 1 second. Or you might not get it after many lifetimes. here Prabhupada repeats this one-second logic. Immediately, Krishna is not poor. And the Krishna seller, the Krishna devotee, he's also not poor. He can distribute Krishna free, and he's doing that. Simply, you have to purchase by your eagerness. So this is the price. And you might say, well, is it always the price? Does everyone, including me, have to be very eager to get Krishna consciousness? Is this the universe of... Can I pay maybe in cow dung? Is only this currency, the currency of eagerness, accepted? Can I, sabjis, or something else I can give? It seems this is the only price. Earlier, Prabhupada describes that when he was choosing for a word to describe what he had come to deliver, he turned to this verse. He says, this Krishna consciousness, I have taken this from this word, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. This is the actual translation from this verse of Rupa Goswami. So this whole movement of Krishna consciousness, in fact the term Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada could have said Krishna, the energetic movement of Krishna, that would be nice. Krishna Shakti movement, why not? Would be a good movement. No, Krishna consciousness, to be aware of Krishna, and to be conscious of Krishna in a certain way. How? That we have learned yesterday. With eagerness, with longing. I don't have that thing. I don't have Krishna consciousness at the moment. But I'm very eager. I must have it. The yogi of my mind has a turban around his head. This turban is made of lobha or greed. No? By a turban, you know someone. When he comes walking, you look. Yes. Does the yogi of your mind have the turban of greed, Madhva Muni? How are you dressed? You need to be dressed in a turban of greed, of lobha. And this is the price, is you have to surrender. Prabhupada continues, that is wanted. Not that we have it, it's wanted. Tatra loryam. Now he imitates a superficial devotee. Oh, eagerness, I've got eagerness, I have. Prabhupada says, oh, it's not so easy. Tatram lolyam ekalam mulyam janma koti sukritya na lapyate. This eagerness cannot be achieved even by pious activities for millions of births. If you simply go on doing pious activities and think, because without being pious you cannot approach Krishna. So if you're going on doing simply pious, janma, koti, sukriti, still this eagerness may not be awakened. Rupa Goswami included this shloka and this subject in his Padyavali, and he was the living example of this eagerness. When Rupa Goswami was still young, Bengal was under Muslim rule, and the Badashah, the ruler, had heard of these two brilliant brothers, Rupa and Sanatan. He needed brilliant people to help him rule, because after all he was a foreigner. He needed someone to act as an in-between
his rulership and the people who were going to be ruled. And he needed people with intelligence. So he turned to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Listen, you better become my ministers. If you don't become my ministers, I will kill many of your people. So, to avoid bloodshed, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami did become his ministers and helped him rule the country. Once, the Bhadasaha, a quite whimsical person, we can assume, was in his palace. It was midnight, and he had some mental upset, maybe a little vata, maybe some unfortunate stars. He was agitated due to something, and he sent a person, a messenger, to Ramkeli, where Ruf and Sanatan lived, with a request that Rupa Goswami come and travel quickly to his palace. Let us hear a little bit of Ram Keli before it gets very dramatic. We need to hear some sweetness. It is, this story will send you going on your path to Krishna with eagerness. But I will make a cliffhanger here. In 5 minutes you will hear the story. Ram Keli was transformed by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami into Vrindavan. They had a little lake duck that was Radhakund and the Syamakund, and a big lake, the Rup Sagara and Sanatan Sagara. And everything in this Ram Keli was just reminding you of Vrindavan. They planted Kadamba Keli flowers, this little trumpet-like flower, the Kanikara flower was there in abundance. It's still growing there. And they worshipped in a beautiful temple Radha Madan Mohan. They had a wonderful assembly hall which was built, and they had Vaishnavas discussing the most wonderful Vaishnav subjects, the Krishna Katha, in there. And but Rupa and Sanatan were the preferred speakers. Yet, although they were ministers and the most accepted and appreciated Vaishnavas, they were told to be extremely humble. When Rupa gave a discourse, and he saw even the most insignificant Vaishnava, newcomer, entering the assembly, he got down from the seat of his talk, where he talked as Vyasa-san, and offered the obeisances. Therefore, very soon everyone understood to come in time, so that the speaker didn't have to get down always. So once the ruler, quite a ferocious man, a meat eater, an agitated person with an active sexual life, had called him in the midst of the night. Rupa woke up. There was a palanquin ready with 4 palanquin carriers and a good amount of pikesmen. You know what is a pikeman? They have this lens, they carry lenses, and they are very quick in fighting and guarding also. They were coming along. It was a windy night. It was a rainy night. It was a dark night. And they made some noise. This was the sound of the pelican carriers wading through the mud. They had to pass the humble dwelling of a washerman, a dhobi, and his wife. And the wife was half asleep and was woken up by this which was passing next to her. And she turned to her husband and asked in a voice which was heard by Rupa Goswami, who was sitting there, who is traveling in the midst of this dark, rainy night? It must be either a dog or the slave of a sensualist, a materialistic man. Rupa heard, who's traveling in the midst of the night? It must be either a dog or a slave or a materialist. And this simple sentence awakened such a strong sense of renunciation, which soon became a raging river which tore down all doubts, or this is the right decision or not, or any obstacles. And Rupa said to himself, this will be my last journey. I know the Bada Saha, maybe he had an unfortunate sexual adventure which did not go to the climax, or maybe there was another problem in insignificant nature, and I have to go and say, oh yes, and I know it's only a butter disturbance, oh yes, you're a great ruler, yes, and go and so on. I am a slave to a materialist. Hare Krishna. The harmonium has kindly confirmed this. But we cannot say this was the birth of eagerness. But it was an interesting story. To surrender to Krishna, to be so eager to go through all obstacles, if born out of two things, either the recognition that my life is at present miserable, then you say, I can't go on like this, and you become a little eager to make a change, or it is because you find Krishna so wonderful. For an ordinary soul, of course, the other first point is most probably very good. So this is really the heartbeat of Krishna consciousness. Eagerness in Krishna consciousness is what keeps you on the path. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, whom we might be able to also greet in our assembly, once told me that movements undergo a certain eagerness curve. That is, to all movements, it's a sociological investigation. In the beginning, when the member or the person, the member who's contacted by the movement finds out about the teachings of the movement, or the promises, his interest is aroused and he's quite interested, or we could say in this discussion, eager. He goes upward. He understands soon, well, there's more to learn which I yet don't know. Then soon he also understands, well, there are some certain positions. And I could here say the first initiation and name-giving ceremony. Then, oops, the second initiation. Then there is something like Sandhya, super. And then there's something like Guru Pa. And then there's something like GBC. So all movements have steps. Yellow belt, black belt, brown belt, lila belt, whatever. So they go on and come to the stage. We can call it here for convenience sake, nothing new. I have it all. And at that time, my dear devotees, the eagerness curve usually goes down. Nothing new, where's something new, interesting. Let's make some movement hopping or guru hopping, like a grasshopper, and so on. If at that point in our eagerness graphical curve. The devotee does not understand where is the roots of the movement, the mula. Mula means root. Where is the heartbeat? He will get stranded in these external. He will either become an external devotee who is sufficiently satisfied with external benefits and boons, or he will leave and do some hopping, a modern phenomenon in the Gaudiya world also. Only if he goes to the root, understands this heartbeat, this driving force. Oh, I wish so much, Krishna. I wish his loving service. Oh, I don't have it, and I so much wish this. It's so important. Then he will be able to get something. This eagerness is the price. And don't mistake the initial eagerness with a graphic curve, or there's some advancement, something to know, some jnana to learn, which I don't yet know, some positions which I don't yet have. That is the first thing. It's called in the language of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, utsahamayi, enthusiasm which is, or eagerness which is based on external phenomena, external stimuli. This eagerness, which is something else. It is not so easy, we understand. It is not so easy. It is something of a deep nature. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture about this eagerness in relationship to Krishna. An eagerness, a verse which was once quoted by a very dear god brother of mine in a preaching context, and I will tell you in a minute about it. It's a discussion between two gopis. They talk about Govinda, who is standing in the moonshine at Keshi Ghat. You can understand the silvery atmosphere. The waves of the Yamuna are making their sweet music. They're bathed in a beautiful silver color. And Krishna plays his flute. A flute, a sound which evokes the most eager response from his devotees. This flute sound of Lord Krishna turns Srimati Radharani into a personality whose eagerness can only be, it's often called Utkanta. Utkanta means, Kanta means a collar, and Utkanta, collar means Kragen. Collar? What is, is it the right word, please? Collar? Neck, yes. Utkanta means to come out of your neck with eagerness. Utkanta. Yes. Srimati Radharani hears the sound. Where? And it said her eagerness destroys the dam of social convention. It breaks through the dam. I must go and see Krishna. That is a very difficult position to leave the house at the night. You know, Ramachandra did not accept Sita back. She had left Ravan took her away. You know, so you get ostracized usually. So. This eagerness all the gopis have. When Lord Krishna plays his flute, they all leave their house. Those who are retained in their houses, they go in their spiritual bodies. Either the spiritual body can go through iron and granite, no problem, to meet Krishna. And so the gopis are now talking amongst themselves about Krishna who plays this flute which awakens such eagerness. Smeram vangi taraya parichatam sachi vishtena drishtim vangsinyastarara kishalayam ujvalam chandakena govindakyam haritanu mitakeshi tirto pakante ma prekyishtashtavayadi sake bandhu sange stiranga. One gopi talks, "My dear friend, there is one boy. His name is Govinda. He's standing on the bank of Yamuna near the Keshi Ghat, and he's playing on his flute. And he is so beautiful that especially during full moonlight, please do not go there." The audience laughs. "Why? Now, because if you have got any intention to enjoy in this material world with your family members, your wife, your children, your husband, please do not go there." Smeram mangitraya parichitam shachi vishtirna drishtim. Krishna always stands in three curved way with his flute. That is Krishna. Three places he is bent. So, it ends with so in my notes. Prabhupada then will comment that if you say, "Please do not go there," then you must go. Have you seen when you're on the street, there is, sometimes they do some repair work, and there is this red band, at least in Germany, red and white, and it's a limited area, no one may go there, and no, as a child, I had to go in the hole, you know. We all like to look, what is in this restricted area? Or we say, as a movement, don't go to this lecture. Oops, maybe it's interesting, I must go. The moment, it's this human psychology, the moment you say, don't go there, people will think, oh, that must be interesting. Otherwise, why would I be restricted? You know, we have this human, human nature. We are, after all, still a little human. Very much human. So this is what the gopi say. The one gopi says to the other gopi, "If you have any interest in family members, wife, children, husband, don't go to Krishna, because you will simply run after him." This is expressed in the shloka. The song is called "The Supreme Thief." Oh Krishna, what a great thief you are! When you were young, you simply were stealing butter. When you became older, you were stealing the clothes of gopis, and now you're stealing all minds. And also you steal the sins of your devotees, the bad karma of your devotees. What a great thief you are. And what do? You turn your devotees into homeless beggars who just go, "Krishna, Krishna, where's Krishna? I'm only interested in Krishna." This left. What a great thief you are, Krishna. It's an extra special poem describing these things. And then the devotee says, "But now your prison term has started. You are imprisoned in the darkest prison you can imagine. That is my own heart. You cannot leave it. Try to go. You are shackled by the bondage of my love. You are shackled by the bondage of my love." That's how the devotee pronounces the imprisonment term of his Lord. So coming back, this verse, I believe, is this also composed by Rupa Goswami? Is this correct? Or is it Smeram Bangi? Yeah. The Smeram Bangi Shloka. This is a verse on eagerness. Indirect, it is said. Don't go there, and of course, "Oh, if he's such a beautiful boy in the dark night of in the full moon night, playing his flute, don't you tell me, don't go there. I'm just now going." This eagerness is evil. If you have this eagerness for Krishna, no need to study extra libraries of literature. If you have this eagerness in your heart, no need to think of, I must give this up, I must give that up. If you have this eagerness in your heart, you will automatically become enriched with knowledge and detachment. But without this eagerness, your knowledge and detachment will never bring you into the department of the serious Krishna searcher, the serious student of Krishna consciousness. This eagerness, just like in order to rise, you need some stable heartbeat. Do you have this sometimes? I think Matajis by nature have a weak blood circulation. Is this true? Sometimes some weakness is there. And then sometimes I remember I also suffer from this weak heart and weak circulation. And sometimes, especially after a boring lecture, and then it's hot in the India, and then you just can't rise, because the heartbeat is no longer existence any longer. If you just get stranded somewhere, lost, left. So this also happens when you don't find eagerness in your heart, my dear devotees. Your circulation is weak. You can't rise. Your knowledge can't help you rise. Your detachment can't help you rise. Without the eagerness, the strong heartbeat, which takes care of a healthy circulation of enthusiasm in your life, you will get stranded, lost in some dark corner of the mind, and so on. This eagerness, where can we get this eagerness? Where is the marketplace of this eagerness, where this eagerness is available? Rupa Goswami has given the hint. There are Krishna sellers, a Krishna devotee. They are not poor. They only want this price, the eagerness. So go to these devotees. They sell Krishna, but they also have eagerness. Otherwise, they wouldn't have Krishna and wouldn't be a proper sellers on the marketplace of the holy name. So this eagerness, that is very, very important. And in order to get it, you need to associate with serious sadhakas and hear. Because you must know one thing about this world. This world has been described in many poetic languages in our Sanskrit literature. It's a place of diversion. Your eagerness will easily be diverted to something else. Have you noticed there are so many things which can catch our interest? Many things, you know, troubling situation can catch our... We become very eager to solve our trouble, our health trouble, our communication trouble, our personal troubles, we put all our energy in there. Then we need to maintain ourselves. So when we are very poor, which most of us are, the question will be, Luca, it's not so good if you climb on the tree, because I heard a crackling. The tree feels the pain, Luca. Understood. Krishna can climb on the trees and they will be very happy. They are great saints and saints and sages, and we should not climb on them. This world has many, many tricks to divert our attention. Many tricks. There's constantly something is happening, and we are constantly diverted, and if we don't surround ourselves with serious sadhakas, it will be difficult to maintain our eagerness in Krishna consciousness. It will be very difficult. If we don't enter the protected area of good sadhakas, it will be very difficult. It will be very difficult. The world constantly knocks at us, as if, you know, those who carry mobile phones know this. Constantly this, peep, 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 you know. Here is the master of mobile phones amongst us, Madhva Muni. You can ask him how it is to carry a mobile phone in this world. Peep, 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 all this peep, peep, peep. The world constantly peeps at us. Come here, do this, take care of this, defend your good name and position. Righten your cause. Constantly. Sit down and chant, and you know how many thoughts are coming. 32,000 thoughts are coming. Now I've forgotten. Was it an hour or so? What? A day, only a day. 32,000 thoughts a day. Ooh, so many thoughts. So you must come in the protected area of serious devotees. Or like we do here in this retreat. This retreat is a blessing of Giriraj, Srila Prabhupada and Bhurijan Prabhu. Yes, you have the idea.
Protect your back.
Bhurijan Prabhu had the idea. He took
it was actually your idea, not my idea.
I don't believe it was my idea. I don't have good ideas like that. This
it
is
must have been Braja Bihari's idea.
Braja Bihari's, yes. So because here we can plan, we can try to be undiverted in our attention. This is very important. And when you don't allow all these diverted thoughts and you hear something which inspires you, then your eagerness is for, yeah, I also want to become a good devotee. When I get home, so and so many things I will not do any longer. I will not look any longer at. And my TV, I might try to give my TV for 1 month to my neighbor and practice abstinence. We also have congregational devotees here. So yes. There is a story in this connection, which is very long, but I will make it very short. I will just read it to you from Srila Prabhupada. It's an illustration how in the association of devotees this eagerness is born. Prabhupada described that there was a professional reciter who read apparently from the Bhagavatam about Lord Krishna and his cowherding pastimes, how he went each day into the forest with the cows, and he described Krishna's ornamentation. And he described, I heard, that there is this nose pearl which Krishna wears here in the nose, and this nose pearl is constantly trembling because Krishna breathes. And it is bathed in a red color, because the redness of Krishna's, of the inside of Krishna's nostrils, is reflected on this otherwise white pearl. And it is swinging back and forth, bathed in this divine redness. And the gopis are constantly interested in this, in the movement of this beautiful dancing Shri Pearl. So the thief heard this. Yes. So there was a thief in that meeting. So he thought, why not then go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? He's in the forest with so many valuable jewels. I can go there and catch the child and take all the jewels. That was his intention. So he was serious that I must find out that boy. Then in one night I shall become a millionaire. So many jewelries. So he went there. But his qualification was that I must see Krishna. I must see Krishna. That anxiety, that eagerness made it possible that in Vrindavan he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna the same way as he was informed by the Bhagavata reader. Isn't that amazing? Once Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, how can I become Krishna conscious? And Srila Prabhupada answered, by your anxiety. The devotee thought, I have joined with another reason. I want to become free from anxiety. I don't want to get anxiety. Then Prabhupada gave the example of what he meant with anxiety. He didn't speak of the anxiety-ridden Sankirtan man who doesn't yet have his results together, or the poor manager who is grieving about his heavy load of service and nothing works out and no money and no cooperation. No, he gave the what he meant with anxiety, he gave the example of Yashoda, who just always wishes to serve Krishna with everything. You remember we heard how Yashoda was ready even to become a maidservant of Devaki to just see Krishna for only 1 minute a day and serve Krishna by washing his clothes and so on and so on. This is Yashoda's life. So this type of anxiety can also be expressed here in this context. Eagerness to serve Krishna. Yes. Prabhupada talks more about this, and we have published a beautiful children book about the complete story. Is it in English? I believe it's in English. Or it's in German only. You have to learn this beautiful language. I'm obviously joking. Don't learn it. It's not beautiful. Yes, this eagerness will bring you Krishna. And to get this eagerness, we need to come into the association of the devotees. We need to hear them. We need to see their example, how they run after Krishna, how they may forget their meals even to serve Krishna, and how they are very heavy and very urgent in their service for Krishna. This type of example, when you met Srila Prabhupada, he was so much emanating this eagerness to serve Krishna. Do you know ISKCON is meant by Prabhupada, and it's really like this, as a loving offering to his own spiritual master. Here I brought these people for you, Guru Maharaj. And so eager. No? So this example, you will see in Prabhupada's association, you could not sleep except for the lectures, unfortunately. There is a curse, when the Bhagavatam is told that the Nidra Devi takes shelter. There is some story like that. But or you know, you just feel so at home, and the vibration is just so pure that you nothing to worry, and you go. Anyways, but when you met him, you met the compactness of a raging fire of eagerness to serve Krishna. Imagine when Prabhupada was preparing to leave, he was not completed with the Bhagavatam, so he dictated the Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries. Who of you has seen this movie of Prabhupada dictating in his last days the Bhagavatam? It's amazing, isn't it? Eagerness. This you get from such an example. Unmotivated service for eagerness for or you know, when you hear about Krishna, you also feel like, I also want to serve Krishna a little. This is so nice, Krishna is so wonderful. Yes, this idea comes into your mind. It comes into your mind, and you think, I also, yes, why not? Yeah, for me also, and in my own humble ways, yes. And you start to start this part of your eagerness. Look for the road of eagerness. When you are on the road of eagerness, your heartbeat will be very, very healthy. This eagerness in Krishna consciousness will carry you through the successive states of advancement. Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, and all the states of Prema. Here on this sacred place, I would like to tell you about the eagerness of Srimati Radharani. When Radha wants to meet Krishna always, but it's difficult because she lives with Kutila, the complicated one, who watches the step of her door, of Radha's door, that Radha doesn't go out. So she has to really know how to move in the midst of the night without anyone perceiving it. So in the inner courtyard of Radharani's little apartment, she practices moving through the dark forest. She puts for her practice the whole courtyard full of thorns, so that she learns to walk over thorns to meet her Krishna. So eager. Then she trains. She learns those mantras which you need to pacify agitated cobras whom you have stepped on the midst of the night. Some mantra is there. Because she wants to meet Lord Krishna even in the dark night. And then sometimes in the monsoon, the path of Vrindavan becomes so slippery that it's not possible to go easily. So she has buckets of water put on the muddy ground of her, and muddies her ground in her courtyard, and learns to walk without slipping and falling, because she wants to meet Krishna. So we can hear this, and we can think, Krishna must be wonderful if this, it must be wonderful. Think of Krishna, that even Brahma, Shiva, they want to come to him, but they can't reach him. I remember my godbrother, and here will end. We were together in the preaching in Kassel at an art exhibition, and we had our Harinam just before the entrance of this huge art exhibition. And there was a constant stream of people flowing by, going by. So we were not at all interested, of interest, because all of the people had bought tickets to enter the art exhibition to see Andy Warhol and other paintings and exhibited. And they had the agenda. So we couldn't bring them to stop. We were playing, but we just jun, 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 jun. Then my god brother said, Bhakti Bhusha Maharaj, he said, don't stop here. He shouted very loud, don't stop here. It's very dangerous to stop before us. Please quickly go to the exhibition. Don't stop here. As the crowd was growing, go, go, go. The crowd was still growing, swelling on. Don't stop here. 2,000 people. What is here? I'm not allowed to stay here. This is the tactic of Rupa Goswami. Don't stay. Should all go with great eagerness. We should go. We should follow the lead of the divine scriptures. They are also meant to create this rasa, a taste. Eagerness is a taste in our heart. These bhakti granthas. You know, when we read these wonderful books which are available, Krishna book, we want to also, oh yes, very nice, wonderful. This place, back to God, it plays very appealing to me. We should march with eagerness on this path. Don't look back to the world. Don't go back to the world. Eagerly look for your prospect, your great hope, Asha Bandha, to be joining Lord Krishna in his wonderful realm beyond birth and death. Look eagerly to this possibility which is there, which you can immediately get if you just buy this, get this prize together in your heart, this eagerness. We become beggars in the land of eagerness. If you want to find the real devotees, look for them in the land of eagerness. There they are. And they will help you to enliven your spiritual heart. By nature, we are eager. We are unfortunately a little distracted still at the moment. But by nature, our eagerness propels and pushes us only to Krishna. This is where I would like to end. I still feel I have not done justice to this beautiful verse and the subject matter. But maybe some other time there's some more insights. More is coming. Now we want to invite our Danuta Maharaj to please take the seat and address us all.
Hearing everybody's stomachs.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Rupa Goswami ki
jai.
The right feet, the right eagerness ki
jai.
Vancha kalpa karubhyascha Rupa sindhu bhayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Ghor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Actually, I wasn't expecting to speak. I've come to the retreat as a guest to get sadhu sangha because I knew that actually that's the most important thing. Uddhava, Krishna tells Uddhava, the parama guyam, the topmost secret. And the topmost secret is that there is nothing more important in advancement in spiritual life than sadhu sangha. And I realized that there would be real sadhu sangha. And real sadhu sangha has three qualities. People are more advanced, they're like-minded, and they're affectionate to you. So this attracted me to come here. And as a courtesy, they're asking me to speak. And as a courtesy to everyone, I will speak only briefly. Now, when I say that, I usually speak for several hours. But because the last time this happened to me, I said the same thing. But I'll just try to share one thing. Very interesting at the when Jagatrini Mata was giving us, sharing with us the last moments. She was sharing with us the last moments of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that's very, very significant. I read in the latest Krishna Kathamrita about the Putana story that at the Putana, at the very end, you know, she was a very beautiful lady, and then she revealed her true nature. And the commentary was given, at the end of life, there's nothing to hide. So at the same way, we see with the great souls, at the end, there's nothing to hide. So their hearts may come out fully. I was in Srila Prabhupada's room in his last days, and then his heart opened up. And surprisingly, not surprisingly, but in one sense it was surprising because he was bedridden, that he wanted to go to Govardhan. And even I remember Lokanath Swami and Trivikram Swami, that they ran out to go get a bullock cart and... I should speak more into it. So it's very, very significant. So when she was reading that, I'd like to get this research. She was saying the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but those words are actually the pranam mantra to Srila Rupa Goswami. So I'm wondering if that pranam mantra comes from his words that he spoke at the end of his life, or he was actually chanting the pranam mantra. What? No. The one that she quoted was Adadanas tranam danter idam yache puna puna Srimad Rupa padambojo dulisham janmajamini. The Sanskrit wasn't quoted, but it says, with a straw, it's not here, but with a straw in my teeth, adananas trinam dantir, idam yache puna puna, I beg, idam yache puna puna, I beg again and again with a straw in my street, a straw in my teeth. Srimad Rupa Padamboja Duli. Janma Janmini, that birth after birth, I'm begging with a straw in my teeth, that birth after birth, I can have the dust of the feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. What, can you just say it in English again? I think people can. So, Adadanas Trinam Danter, everyone. Adadanas Trinam Danter, straw in my street, idam yast teeth. Idam yache puna puna.
Idam yache puna puna.
I'm begging Srimad Rupa Padamboja.
Srimad Rupa Padamboja.
Duli Sham Janma Janmani.
Duli Sham Janma Janmani.
So this is very much the mood. And the Sisha in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it also says that the shisha, or the disciple, takes the mood of his spiritual master. And that was also very, very much Prabhupada's mood. I celebrated Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day festival at our ISKCON Govardhan. And Harisari Prabhu spoke. And he spoke on Srila Prabhupada and book publishing. So as the audience were practically comprised of people who worked in the BBT, which was Keshav Bharti, Maharaj, Jayadvaita Swami, Gopi Pranadana. They let him go on and on and on this particular subject because it had so much relevance to them. But he also, he told two stories about Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, which was it. He said that when he was Prabhupada's servant, Hari Kesh told him that Prabhupada said that at Radha Damodar he had personal darshan of Srila Rupa Goswami. So he said, I have to ask Srila Prabhupada. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you had darshan of Srila Rupa Goswami? And Prabhupada said, everyone knows that. So what can he do? He couldn't. That was the answer. So he couldn't ask about that, couldn't say anything. And for 28 years it sat until our God system, Mula Prakriti, wrote a book about interviews with people who knew Prabhupada before ISKCON, and they had an interview with one person. I think it's something you know, Gopal Chandra Ghosh, who's a respected scholar. And in that book, he told the same story, that when he was a young boy, he visited Prabhupada at Radha Damodar, and Prabhupada very excitedly told him that he had darshan of Rupa Goswami. What exactly that means may be beyond our understanding, but we do we can understand for sure the inspiration by the transcendental system. Srila Prabhupada was there in Radha Damodar to plan increasing the service of Sri Sri Radhashyam Sunda, and he was looking out at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, getting his inspiration. And in separation from Vrindavan, whenever I'm in the West, and wherever I'm speaking, there's two verses I have to chant. One to Rupa Goswami, and meditating on his samadhi, because that's the source of the inspiration of our movement. I'll say one more thing, hopefully. And that expresses really the mood of Rupa Goswami, which is utter humility. And I just wanted to say just one point. Bhurijan Prabhu was speaking about this also, Trinada Peace and Ichena, that humility somehow or other allows us Kirtaniya Siddhahari, to chant always. So I was trying to meditate, and of course, in many, many ways. We know this as a fact. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita comes to the conclusion that there's no difference between dainya and utter humility and prema bhakti. We even know when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was challenged in Vrindavan, what is your Siddha mantra? And he said, Trinada Peace and Ichena, that this utter humility, the whole Shikshastakam, if you study the Shikshastakam, it corresponds, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that it corresponds to the stages of devotional service. And we see that as the Shikshastakam progresses, it's a deepening of the mood of humility. And finally, what's the utter mood of humility, which represents Sambhog Prem, Aslishyava Padaritam Panastumam Adarshanam. The utter mood of humility is prema. You may crush me by your embrace. You may be brokenhearted by not being before you, being present before me. So I just wanted to say how humility leads to Kirtaniya Siddhahari, how the humble soul can chant constantly. And the reason is you can only do any activity and get pleasure from that activity if you're doing it with love. Karma is no fun, because karma means what? You're doing an activity, but you're doing it for the result. So the activity is not pleasant. You have to spend money. You have to do work. It's the result you get. If you do gyan, there's so many austerities. That's not, but the goal is moksha. That's your pleasure. But bhakti is causeless. It means that you're doing it for the activity itself, not anything outside of the activity. And therefore, it's a haitaki apratiyata. It's without motive, without cause. It's done out of love, and therefore apratiyata. It can be done constantly. So when you do an activity without love, that's called work. No one likes work. You'll stop in a second if you don't have to work. But you can always do the activity that if you're doing it out of affection, that's called love. And that one can do constantly and without stop. So what's the relationship between humility and love? Humility enables you to experience mercy. Mercy means undeserved kindness. If you're in a mood, you have pride, you think that you deserve something, then you're not experiencing mercy. I thought of a formula that how we can measure mercy. Mercy is the value of what we, the distance between the value of, the distance between how we value something that we're getting and how little we think we deserve it. So the less you think you deserve it and the more you think the thing is valuable, the more you'll experience mercy. So when someone is very, very humble, he experiences mercy. Even when Satchinandana Maharaj, he was giving us that partana padati, the step-by-step procedure for prayer. What is it? The first part, it was very nice, glorification. So what's glorification? It's helping you to realize the value of what you're getting. And what's the second part? The second part is meditating on how unqualified you are for it. So that's our padati, to appreciate Krishna, appreciate the holy name so much, and really have a practical understanding of how little we're qualified for that. And then we experience mercy. And the feeling of mercy is the mood that inspires affection or love. In this world, when you get kindness, then you feel love for that which is the bestower of that kindness. So when you actually are feeling mercy from something, then you have affection. So if you're humble, in a humble state of mind, you're chanting the holy name, and you're hearing Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, how great it is, it cleanses the heart, Bhava Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam, it purifies us of material desire, Shreya Kairaiva Chandrika Vitarnam, that it's like a lotus, the moon, which blossoms our heart and gives us devotional ecstasy. When you're actually appreciating how wonderful the holy name is, and then you're seeing your condition, etadrasi tava kripa bhagavan mamafi durdaivam indrisam ihajani nada. I have no affection, I have no devotion. And then that humility deepens. Then you'll begin to appreciate and begin to experience the mercy of the holy name and have affection for the holy name. So this is our path, and this is the path given by Srila Rupa Goswami.
What was the second verse?
Vairagya yog bhakti rasam payatnai apayamam manabipsamandam kripambudhiya paraduka dugi sanatanas tam prabham asriyami. That's the second verse.
What does it mean?
That's prayers to Vairagya yog bhakti rasam. Although I am unwilling to take the nectar of bhakti, which is enriched by renunciation from this world. This is Raghunath Das Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, who kripambhutirya paraduka duki, who's suffering for everyone else's suffering and is an ocean of mercy, by he's forcing me to take this nectar of devotion. Sanatana Tam Prabhu, and therefore I'm bowing my head to him. That's the second verse. So Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.